Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we have just a discussion about some of the editorial changes on the JSON-LD 1.0 spec, the syntax spec, an update on the algorithm specs to just kind of go over the work that Dave Longley's been doing on the specs. And then we might want to talk a bit about the relative IRI compaction issue and any other addition to the agenda. So are there any additions to the agenda? Anything else that we should discuss? Just Marcus, I think you raised a number of issues, new issues. Is that right?
I raised one issue, but that's probably part of the IANA parameters that's already in the agenda.
Okay. All right. And that's issue 214. Okay, so we'll put that first before the design, the relative IRI design discussion. Okay, let's go ahead and get started then. I have gone through and done a complete pass over the JSON-LD 1.0 spec. So really, I tried to be very, very thorough about catching grammar flow, organization, syntax. Any kind of issue should be, at least should be dealt with if I saw it. But as always, we're going to need two or three other people to go over the entirety of the spec to make sure that we caught everything and that people agree with the changes that were made to the specification. Really, the major changes we have already discussed. We discussed them on the call last week. There are some other fairly major changes that I made. Well, they're not major changes. They're minor changes, but minor changes that could impact a lot of things that we need to discuss today on the call. So the biggest sets of changes were at the beginning of the document, and they were moving things out of the basic section back into the advanced section in attempt to make the flow of the specification a little easier for those unfamiliar with linked data in general, just so that they have an easier introduction into the basic concepts, and they can stop at the basic concepts and actually start using JSON-LD. Effectively. Okay, so any questions on the general stuff before we jump into specific changes that could impact things, things like the annotation section, the update to the JSON-LD model, the IANA parameters, that stuff we'll get to, but anything else? Have people been able to look at the spec at all?
Yeah, I'll look at your changes.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw. I put some comments on some of the things you changed.
I did. It's in my inbox. I flagged them to respond to them later. I'm kind of buried in email right now. But yeah, I will definitely respond to them. Do you want to discuss them on the call today? Would that be faster?
I think so, because they're minor things mainly.
Okay. All right. Do you want to discuss them right now before we get into the other stuff?
Well, it's up to you. I don't really mind.
Let's push them to the end of this the agenda item one, just because we definitely need to talk about the changes I made to the JSON-LD data model, and then the annotation section I think is kind of important, just to nail those things down, and then we'll if you can find the link to that and be ready to put that into the IRC. That would be helpful. I'm bringing up a link to the JSON-LD syntax spec. And let's see. Annotations. Okay, so there is, let's talk about data annotations first. Marcus, you put in a usage of the data annotations that I hadn't really thought about, and it kind of changes what data annotations are. I don't know in a good or bad way. I'm just raising it as a as an item that we should discuss as a group. So the first example, example 51, data annotations, we have an annotation used as kind of like a comment in the document, and that wasn't what I was thinking data annotations were about, but it certainly can be used for that. I guess the question to the group is, do we want to leave this in the spec? Do we want to make this the first example or the second example? Primarily because I thought annotations were primarily intended for, like, it's a container type for an annotation map, and there's no way of kind of annotating your data. The other question I have is whether what happens to this when it's expanded and compacted again? Or if the annotation is destroyed since it doesn't have a mapping. I don't really know. So anyway, Marcus, if you could give a little bit of background on your thinking on that, and then maybe we can kind of discuss it.
Basically the reasoning was to put that in was to describe it in a simpler way, so without relying on containers. And basically annotations are data which survive operations like expansion, compaction, flattening, etc., but not to and from RDF. So if you would expand that, that generated in 0.1 seconds would still be in there, but it wouldn't be there if you convert it to RDF because it's not linked data. So it's basically just the simplest way to describe the annotation keyword, I think. And then annotation maps is kind of a advanced use of that annotation feature so that you can use it also to index data based on the annotation. Because just if we just look at example 52, for example, you wouldn't suspect that at annotation shows up in expanded output, for example, as in the first example. Because mm-hmm. That's basically how the map is transformed when you expand.
Mm-hmm. So the value of annotation can be anything. It can be like a very deeply nested array with objects in it.
Just the strings. A single string. Simple string. But
yeah.
That's in the grammar.
Nick, what's your on the queue?
I wonder if the choice of the name of the keyword and this usage is a bit unfortunate. I think that, was it you, Manu, who raised the question whether we should rename it into key? Was it key?
I don't know.
Or was there... No. Because I'm not really sure about if this is helpful or not, because the primary use case was only example 52 and other similar situations where you basically have not always but often have a corresponding property on the object itself, like language, Dublin Core language in this case, or maybe you want to use the IRI or the text value of something like the date or the author. So it's primarily for artificial index keys which have to survive expansion and compaction in order for the container mechanism to work. I'm not sure if it's helpful to leverage it for anything else.
Yeah, so that just that helped me remember. It was index that I had proposed before, because I had looked at this as a way of just kind of indexing data, and that you want the indexes to survive, and it wasn't really meant to be anything more than that.
Yeah. I think it was that. Perhaps key is even more appropriate, given that, well, it just works as a key. Also, when you use container, it works. You can't have several keys, that would confuse the mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think if we're going to have...
Can I say it again, Nicholas?
You can't, for one object, you cannot have several keys, because then the container annotation would be confused. Should you put...
What do you mean you cannot have several keys?
If you would alias a term to the keyword annotation, and then use different terms for the same object, which all are alias to annotation, that would mess up the container annotation mechanism. Should it copy the object several times, or the primary point here is that the keyword key could be useful because it is an explicitly artificial key object.
Well, I guess there are two questions here. One, what's the name of this the keyword for this feature? And two, do we want to support just bare data annotations, just string data annotations?
Well, the question is not if we support them. The question is whether we document it that way, because we have to support it. Otherwise, expansion wouldn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the fence, but leaning more towards not documenting it this way. I don't think this was the intent. At least when I supported the proposal, my intent was not that we tell people that they should use the annotation feature like this. The other thing I'm concerned about is that people are going to use add annotation and they're going to put objects in their arrays or things like that.
Clearly prohibited by the grammar.
Right, but it seems like you should be able to do that. Like, why shouldn't I be able to do that? If this is just an annotation, if I'm just annotating an object, why can't I use anything to annotate that object? You see, so before it was just a feature. It was just annotation is just a container type, and that's the only place, as a developer that you should probably use it unless you're an advanced user, and then you can use it inside expanded form. But even there, it just maps to a key. Now we're saying that there's another use case here, which is that annotation can be used just as a basic string annotation for the data. That survives expansion and compaction, but the question is, if they wanted to survive expansion and compaction, why not just make it a term, or something else like that that can be an object that can annotate the information more precisely? It just seems like using annotation as a way of doing a string annotation for an object is limiting and is not necessarily the intent. It might confuse people. So I think I'd rather not have this in there, and let the tell them that they need to create a new term if they want to annotate their object with something, and they want it to go through expansion and compaction. Craig, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think that this is sort of promoting using markup features for which it's really more appropriate to use RDF pieces. For instance, RDFS comment. In this case, this is clearly a comment, and it would be reasonable to use that. But by using an example like this, we're sort of giving people a way to not make it linked data, and that counters the whole direction, I think, that we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
So this example would be better of, say, the use of, annotating or commenting the data using RDF rather than an artifact of the language. So in that sense, perhaps annotation isn't a good name, although I'm a little reluctant to start willy-nilly changing things.
Mm-hmm.
I would be fine with removing that example if that's I mean, if that's what you're looking for. So I don't have any strong opinion about including that example or not.
Okay. I think
just
we should.
Thought because okay. The name is called, the keyword is called annotation, so the most natural thing is to use it for annotations, like the one I put in the example.
Yeah.
And that's how it also works. I mean, it's still there, but it's not really linked data, so it's kind of a annotation, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that I think there's a if we need to, we can work on the introduction to the data annotations, whatever we're going to end up calling it. So I'd rather just remove the example. So
if
you know, but I think that the fact that Marcus points that out is an obvious use for something like annotation, and that specifically goes against the grain of what the feature is intended for, does argue that maybe there is a reason to rename it. So it's more
yeah.
clear that its use is for. I mean, IKEA is very abstract and doesn't really say anything to me either. You know, sort of the feature is its sort of structure morphing, really.
Okay, so let's deal with this in two stages. One, what to do with the example, and two, what to name it. So let's deal with whether or not we're removing the example first. I'm just going to do a quick proposal here.
The question is, if we remove the example, do we put in another example describing how that's transformed when expanded? Because otherwise, I mean, that would be very surprising if you just
probably,
look at the API spec.
Yeah, probably we want to show people how it round trips. So we might... I'll work on the section. I'll try to rework the section. We want to show people how the data round trips, and I think that it just needs a little work. That 614 data annotations needs a little more work. Okay, so remove example 51 data annotations and provide different examples showing how data annotations survive.
I don't know if you saw, I just checked with Lynn Clark on IRC if renaming the keyword would be a problem for them in Drupal, but they said it wouldn't be a problem
right.
because they had it.
Okay, so what to name it? I agree with Greg that key is it's a little generic and it's pretty it's a pretty technical term, but then again we are talking about JSON-LD and this is going to be used by developers, so maybe that's not an issue. I had proposed index before. I still don't know if that's...
I don't know, token? No. Well, everything we pick will be so abstract that it just melds with the basic language of the spec.
Yeah.
Well, really what we're doing is we're providing a way to use an object where otherwise you'd use an array.
Yes. Well, the value will be used as a key in that object.
Exactly.
That's what.
So it's a way to allow for indexed data. So you know, maybe index is appropriate because it really is intended to allow you to index the values of index multiple values.
There's also map.
Yeah.
App might be MAP might be useful.
That might be.
Or map. To the container index.
But I think of container, yeah. Hmm. But it would look strange if you look at the data with a value using the keyword.
You mean an expanded form?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about so something like map index or I don't know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of warming up to index. It's but the problem.
It's pretty descriptive of what the feature is intended for.
Yeah. Well, it will be the key in the index, though. That's the container will be an index or a map and the value.
Yeah. So it's like we're saying that this the value of at index is the index of the compacted result. I mean, if you have index 1, index 2, index 3, it would
or the key
that would be clear what you meant, I think.
Or the key in the map. It's
map is a more challenging concept, I think. And key.
Yeah,
I
prefer key to map, and I'm not sure about whether index says. But I think of this value as being the key in the index, but. On the other hand, I'm not a native English speaker, so I kind of have this.
No, I think you're right. That's how people would you would expect the container to be an index, and you would expect the value to be expressed in expanded form as key.
Right.
The key in the index.
I like key in and of itself, but when you look at the keywords we have. And I put key in there, it gets very strange. You look at them and you have ID and then you have key. it would be confusing in the... If you look at the section 3.2, syntax token and keywords, I'm trying to fit this term in there. Well,
index is the least offensive.
Yeah.
Annotation, I mean...
Let's see if we...
I don't have strong feelings about this right now, and I don't. It doesn't sound like anyone else really has any strong feelings about it. So we could... Do people feel more strongly about changing it from data annotations to something else? I feel strongly about changing it from data annotations to something else. And so, if other folks feel that way, maybe we could change it to index and then see how we feel about that once it's in the spec. And then. If people look at it and they're like this is worse than annotations, then we can change it back to annotation.
The problem I have a bit with index is that if you look at an array, all the elements in an array are normally indexed, even if there is no explicit index. So like 0, 1, 2, 3 is the place where it is
true.
In the array.
That's true.
I'm looking at synonyms for key, and all I code does not work. Q is interesting, but Q and earmark, but they are. I don't know.
Okay, so let's put this. Let's not burn telecon time on this right now. Maybe we can. We'll keep it as annotations. And then
quick
maybe,
idea before I forget it. What about marker or something like that?
Not too much of a fan of that. And I think I agree with Manu that data annotations is really sort of going in the wrong direction. I think that we should change it, and it probably doesn't matter specifically what we change it to as long as it makes clear what the difference is. The concept of an index certainly implies a cardinal location within an array, but it's often used in other contexts as well, for instance, to index into an object. I would go with either index or key. Key is perhaps the most accurate, but I agree with Nicholas that looking at key next to ID and type, it's not clear what its meaning is. And I think index seems to just convey a little bit better meaning. But I definitely suggest we change data annotations to one of those alternatives.
I think Greg just convinced me that index is probably the best path then.
Yeah. In the thesaurus, the definition, thesaurus.com, the definition is indication with synonyms like mark, so it's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do we think there's any other proposal that would get more plus ones than index?
Should we create an issue for that and discuss it next week, or?
I think let's just do it, and if anybody feels very strongly about it, then we can create a issue and then discuss it in more detail.
Yeah,
the nice thing is that like this is editorial, like we can change it after last call. It doesn't it doesn't affect anything.
Well, the question I have kind of is, why do we change it at all? To prevent the use case, or I mean, to not promote it?
To make it more accurate, to be more accurate about what the feature does.
Well, the feature, what does it really? It's adding some structure to some structure which has no meaning. So it's kind of, I don't know how to describe it.
That's the purpose of like a keys in a database, that it doesn't have. You know, the keys in the database, in index for a database, don't have really any semantic meaning. They're just a way to organize information. And they're not really exposed to the application. They're not necessarily exposed to the application layer as far as having any semantic meaning. So to me, this is effectively a database, and we're creating this index, and that index is keyed with particular values. I think that the feature that we have built is easily comparable to a database index. It's not really a general annotation mechanism.
What do you mean by database index? A primary key?
Yeah. I mean any key in the database index. At least that was my understanding. That was my understanding for the feature, is that, they need to be able to access data using a certain key, and they needed to be able to do it quickly instead of, scanning through an array, and that is, like, the definition of what a database index is used for.
But that would be a kind of, if we would index it by a property, not by some random string.
Well, you can have generative indexes, right, in databases.
Well, normally you index a property or a field.
That's true. But, I mean, I think it's more accurate to say that this is like a database index than it is to say it's a generalized annotation mechanism, because we're not really annotating. Annotation is like you write something down on a Post-it note and you stick it on the object. And that's not what we're doing here. We're indexing data.
Yeah. Should you put out a proposal?
Sure. If Marcus is, if you feel like we've discussed this enough, Marcus.
Yeah, I think we have.
Okay. Okay. So rename annotation to index and. Update.
Sort of like it's value indexing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a way to describe the section.
Update the pros. Okay, so the proposal is rename annotation to index and update the pros in section 6.14 to reflect the change. Okay. That was the first thing that we need to discuss. The second change is an update that I made to the JSON-LD data model that I was a bit concerned about. Let's see. I'm going to try and find the change. Marcus, do you have, you wouldn't have to have the commit ID or link to the commit ID, would you, Andy?
Here it is.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, so I modified what a node was in the JSON-LD data model, and I think there was disagreement between Marcus and myself about what that change, or I guess this comes out of something that Richard Sigeniak said. He said that what we had in the spec is that nodes, let's see, let me find the exact line here. It's a reference stuff. Oh, no, it's an other resource. Okay, it's in the second block of changes. We say that, or I try to say, every node represents a resource or a value. Resources are labeled using either an IRI or a blank node. What the text said before was that every node is an IRI, a blank node, a JSON-LD value, or a list. And I think that we had that language before, and Richard Sigeniak said, no, that is absolutely wrong. Nodes are labeled using IRIs. Nodes are not IRIs. So the question is, am I remembering that incorrectly, or is that an issue that the RDF working group is going to have? If we say a node is an IRI, are they going to have an issue with that? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I have the instinct, similar instinct to you on this, but thinking about it, the data model is just the abstract syntax, and when I look at the RDF 1.1 concepts, it states an RDF graph can be visualized as a node and directed arc diagram. There can be three kinds of nodes in an RDF graph, IRIs, literals, and blank nodes. So when you draw this abstract syntax, the graph, the data model, then the node is the IRI. And I think that what might have thrown us off was that at one point we were saying that arcs were IRI as well, but then we couldn't have multiple arcs with the same IRI. So
arcs
that
are
might
labeled
be
using IRIs?
Arc, yeah, they are labeled, because you have many, many arcs with the same label.
Okay.
Does that...
Greg, any insight on this?
Yeah, as I recall, the nodes, there was some strong feeling that that's where we were off in describing nodes as being labeled, but in fact that the node is the IRI or is the B node, which seems a little odd, but it's important that we be consistent with RDF concepts. So I think I pretty much follow Nicholas's reading there.
Okay.
I think the problem is that we have sort of at times conflated the JSON object with a node, and sometimes the resource with the node, because the resources in RDF are labeled with the IRI. There are many concepts here to align with, both with the RDF abstract syntax, the model, and the JSON world.
Okay. All right, so we should probably change it back then. I'll go ahead and change it back. I will also ask Richard Sigeniak, because he's the one that I remember saying something about this, but
yes.
I'm probably remembering it incorrectly at this point.
The thing is, we have to check our usage of node in the spec. I don't have any. No, we have JSON object. Good. That's, I think we're fine, but
okay.
Just verify that we don't use node and resource indistinguishably.
Right. Okay. So going up to the first change. Okay. So that's nodes are IRIs. A node is an IRI or a blank node or a JSON LD value or a list. So I'll reverse that. Going to the first change, it used to say each name graph is a pair consisting of an IRI or blank node graph name and a JSON LD graph. Whenever possible, the graph name should be an IRI. And I changed that. Or, well, I guess, let's see, it also says a JSON LD graph is a label-directed graph, a set of nodes connected by edges. Kept that. So that was changed to each name graph is a pair consisting of a graph name and a JSON LD graph. The graph name should be an IRI or a blank node identifier. So the change there is to say that, I guess, Marcus, what you were saying before was that you should be using an IRI to name the graph.
The point is that it must be an IRI or a blank node, but it should be an IRI. In your case, you're just saying it should be an IRI or a blank node, but it could also be a string, for example.
Okay. So let's see.
I think within the JSON LD concepts, it must be an IRI, if I recall. They don't actually allow for the B node case. That's a case where we extend the concept.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I can't say I've ever understood why. But perhaps the fact that it's named implies that you know the name, and therefore it must be an IRI and not something that you specifically say you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
In Sparkle, for instance, of course, it can be, you know, bnode is a existential variable, and it's reasonable for it to be an existential variable. But that's a query language, not a sort of a data description language.
I think there's a difference between the existential variable and the bnode, though, in
not
Sparkle.
Not really. Oh, the only difference is that an existential variable can be used in a result, in a... It's what's called a non-distinguished variable can't. It's really that a bnode is a non-distinguished variable.
Right. But if you... I mean, there is a filter for bnode which should not map if you have bound the existential variable to something which is in the graph, an IRI. But
yeah.
That's off topic. There are subtle differences there.
So I think the point is that for JSON LD... We are implicitly allowing B nodes to be used as graph labels.
Right.
And this is a sort of an intentional extension beyond normal RDF 1.1 concepts.
Right. Okay. So I guess which text are we using there? Do we want to just revert to the previous?
What did you intend with your change?
Sorry, say that again, Marcus.
What did you intend with your change? Did you intend to change the definition or just, I don't know?
So the concern I had was we're saying each name graph is a pair consisting of an IRI or blank node, and with the change I made elsewhere, it didn't match up with that anymore. But since an IRI is a node... and a blank node is a node, then we're basically subsetting it. We're saying a name graph is a pair consisting of a subset of the node class, which is an IRI or blank node, mapped to a JSON LD graph. And I'm trying to think of if that's actually true or if it's really just an IRI or a blank node identifier, meaning it's just a string to a JSON LD mapping. It's not a node to graph mapping. It is a string to graph mapping. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
And I think that's consistent. It's a name. So an IRI is a name. A node is not a name. A node is, except in, of course, in the case that a graph, the IRA is a node. So.
Yeah, see, that's where the logic started getting circular for me.
I think we need to really try to be as close to RDF-1-1 concepts as we can in this regard.
Right. But theirs is, I thought, so RDF concepts, it's just like, it's an IRI to graph mapping. Like, that's what a name graph is. And in fact, they don't even describe it as a pair. They're just saying a graph is named using an IRI.
Well,
no, they describe
maybe if we
it
should
as a
just,
pair because I took it almost literally from the RDF concepts.
Okay.
Because, well, we had a lot of discussions about that a month or two ago. So I really looked at RDF concepts and tried to use it as directly as possible. And then, well, also we discussed it in the RDF working groups, Telecon, and they seem to accept that formulation. So,
okay. So how about this? The only change that I think needs to be made is to then revert to Marcus's original text, and instead of saying blank node, we probably should say blank node identifier.
I guess alternatively, we could just restrict blank nodes from being used to name graphs.
We have a couple of use cases in our stuff internally where it would be helpful just to have a blank node for the graph identifier. We don't want to mint new URLs.
I actually got an email from an acquaintance at the Royal Institute of Technology here, which I've talked to about this stuff, who thanked me and us for having graphs in JSON-LD and in part for having the ability to name them with blank node IDs. So,
well, I mean, you know, that seems to be feedback to the RDF working group is that name graph you should be able to name a name graph with a B-node identifier. And if there's use cases for that, I don't think there's a lot of good reasons not to. It's just that it perhaps was not really ever discussed enough. So it probably warrants a discussion on the mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that prudence is connected with the same reasoning that prevents properties from being blank nodes.
But there's a lot of people argue about that as well, and that really goes back to the limitations of RDF XML.
you couldn't
use a B-node. It syntactically couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the spec, just what change should I – do people agree that we should change blank node to blank node identifier? Is this a string to graph mapping, or is it a node to graph mapping?
String.
Okay, and then are we saying IRI or blank node identifier? Is it string?
Yeah, I think that's more consistent.
Okay, I agree. Any disagreement on that, Marcus?
Can you say that again? We replace IRI with string, or
the only thing we're changing is we revert back to your text, and instead of saying blank node, the TREF blank node, we're going to TREF blank node identifier. So each named graph is a pair consisting of an IRI or blank node identifier, the graph name, and a JSON-LD graph. So we're inserting one word in there.
I wouldn't mind, but it's a bit inconsistent with the definition of node then, because we say the node is a blank node, or it's not a blank node identifier.
But that's true, but this mapping is a string to graph mapping. So I think both Greg and I agree that the name graph is a pair consisting of basically a string to graph mapping. The string is an IRI or a blank node identifier. because a blank node is a node. It's something completely different. A blank node a node is not a string. And we're saying this name graph pair is a string to a graph mapping.
Yeah, the other reason why I'm a bit reluctant is because then we have to talk about scopes, probably. That's something that would crop up, I fear.
What do you mean by scope?
Yeah, for example, that named graph, is then the blank node identifier scope to the document, or is it like valid?
I'm pretty sure we say it's scope to the document. I thought the decision had been in this group and the RDF working group that blank node identifiers are scope to the document.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of makes it a little odd then, because you've got a name for a graph, but you can never refer to that name outside of a given document.
Yep.
So in an abstract sense, what does it? It just sort of exists out there.
Well, it allows graphs.
There is something with a graph, but you can never refer to it.
Well, you can refer to it inside the same document with other graphs kind of in that little ecosystem. So in the little document ecosystem, graphs can talk about one another, which is kind of the same thing with vnodes, right? Vnodes can only talk, you know, vnodes can only be used within a document. I think it's an almost exact parallel to what vnodes are used for in the document.
But this problem is one of the reasons for the RDF working group problem with it in the...
Could be.
I mean, you can't have graphs in graphs there, and therefore, if you name a graph with a B-node, you simply have not named it with a B-node, because B-node IDs are only within a graph.
I thought B-node IDs were within a document. I guess they haven't talked about it because Trig's not... There's no quad syntax.
Yeah, I don't think B-nodes have a relationship to graphs. B-nodes have a relationship to the document serialization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But there certainly has been quite a lot of discussion recently about the scope of B-nodes. And we are in danger of treading into this for no, I don't know. It seems to me if there's theoretical issues at the RDF level that we sort of ignore, then we're possibly setting an issue up for the future. And it might be safer to limit identifiers to be IRI or graph names to be IRIs and try to be closer to the way RDF is going. So people that really are championing the use of B-nodes for graphs should really do that with the RDF working group.
I already have so much on my plate that having a multi-month discussion about that stuff with them is not the RDF working group is not something I look forward to. We use them. We're going to continue to use them internally. I feel like whenever we have that type of discussion with the RDF working group, all these, you know, theoretical discussions are raised that have nothing to do with our actual usage of a blank node identifier.
How are you using them?
We're generating timestamps, basically. For the blank node identifiers and storing them in the document. So instead of minting a new URI, we just create a timestamp for it. We do also have that marked up as linked data for the graph, but it's just easier to do, you know, underscore colon and then have a timestamp than it is to, you know, or then to pretend as if we're actually creating a URL for that data, which we're not.
Just
so
thinking it might be useful to use like tag URIs or earn and X pageworm, for instance.
Yeah, we also use pageworm URNs for identifying other things.
Because I think that's the problem with the B node. I mean, when they are solidified. I don't know much about the scotomization things in RDF, but that's... Greg, do you have any insight in how that would be?
Well, scolem identifiers allow you to sort of do a round trip naming of vnodes within a repository.
Right.
So if you did have something in there that was not named, you could give it a name for the purpose of serialization, such that if you received it again in a different serialization, you could get back to the original identifier, or the original node.
All right.
I think they're ugly, personally.
Yeah, we don't necessarily like that. I mean, we've got JSON-LD graph normalization, and we could actually give the ID a hash. We could use a B node of a, we could use the hash in a B node, or we could just create a new URN for it. But we tend to shy away from creating new URNs that are application specific. Then we could just use a B node. And we'd rather use something that's already there than have to go and use our own URN scheme and have to manage that inside our system as well.
You could use URN UID.
Yeah, we really don't like UUIDs. They're useful, but they're just the garbage. It's garbage. Or to a human, it looks like garbage. You have to have some kind of mechanism to kind of decrypt the UID into something useful, and we'd rather just encode something human readable in the vnode identifier.
Right. That sounds like a case for tag URNs, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then it's just kind of like we feel like we're abusing the tag, URN.
I don't know if there is any abuse of that.
Right.
I mean,
if, and if the thing is like anything goes for a tag URN, it's like, okay, well then why doesn't anything go for a vnode identifier? Like why are the two classes so different from one another? I mean, vnode.
Well, the vnode is
goes, right.
I find vnodes very useful. Not B-node IDs do it very rarely. It's basically only in the N-triple serialization I use them, or I think they're useful, because in any other case, I only use B-nodes for compound values and occasionally where I really, really don't know the URI for something.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly be convinced to not support blank node identifiers and for graph names, but I just feel like it's just kind of the whole reason that, or it seems to me that the reason that is in there, that restriction's in there, is because of the limitations of RDF XML, not because of any actual.
That's not true for. That's only true for properties, not for graph names, which don't exist in RDF XML.
I think the
decision to not use B-node identifiers for graph names, perhaps was discussed someplace in the past. More than likely because there were some objections or some theoretical concerns that were never resolved, so it was just decided to be left out.
All right, so one thing we could do is put it in here and push the conversation forward. So that we have something more uniform, so that you can use blank node identifiers for properties and for graph names. You can use blank node identifiers to identify all these things.
But is that a battle we want to fight?
I think for the long term good of RDF, someone needs to raise it. Because
I think it should be put into RDF comments, and we should come back to this after there has been a conversation that's convinced us one way or the other.
Okay. All right. So let's do that.
Maybe it could be put on an agenda. I don't think an agenda's come out for tomorrow's meeting, and maybe that's a worthwhile agenda topic.
Right. Okay. All right.
It would be.
I mean, we discussed all those differences between JSON-LD and RDF already in the past, so why should we do that again?
I just don't know if this was particularly raised.
It would be good to if there is a theoretical real issue with the B nodes for graph names, which there seems to be, it would be very good to put that in an explicit document somewhere to warn people in the future from not adding it.
Yeah, and if there's not a good reason, then there's no limitation against using it.
Yeah.
So I guess the approach should be, what is the theoretical why should we not support blank node identifiers and properties and graph names? What's the theoretical reason, or what's the theoretical reason to prevent that usage? And if there is none, then we should put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that could be done just with an email to the list, which might be resolved even before tomorrow's meeting.
Okay. Let me go ahead and I'll go ahead and take an action to write that up. Write email to rdsworkgen asking why blank node identifiers can't be used for graph names and predicates. And I think the last change I made to the data model here was I use this terminology where I say something is a node is either a resource or a value. And then the very last change basically says a blank node is a node. I say a blank node is a resource which is not labeled with an IRI. A blank node may be identified using a blank node identifier.
If
that last part's right.
Resource. I think we should remove resource completely, because I think that just confuses more than it helps.
Okay. So, and the reason resource and value was put in there was because of a previous change that we have since taken out. Okay, I'll take it out. Those are all the concerns with the data model. We are going to go over time if we keep going. I feel like we haven't really gone through much of this stuff, but maybe we can just pick up the conversation next week and make next week a 90-minute call.
Well, is there much left for the syntax spec?
INA parameters and then the set of things that you wanted to discuss, which I guess we already discussed.
Well, we discussed almost everything that I wanted to discuss. There's just one section which I would like to rename to something else, and that's it.
IANA
parameter.
Maybe we can just try to get through quickly this point one so that we can not have to revisit again next week.
Okay, all right. So let's cover which section did you want to rename, Marcus?
The reference to context from JSON document.
Yeah, I agree. What name are you proposing? Or just anything else?
I had something like referencing context from JSON documents or transforming JSON to JSON-LD. I don't know.
I think I renamed it to context via HTTP link header.
Yeah, but I fear no one will understand that.
Okay.
So the current name is I will post it. So the current name is context via HTTP link header. But I'm not sure about the proposal, so we're just two quick ideas.
I like transforming JSON to JSON-LD. I really like transforming JSON to JSON-LD.
I think a lot of people have JSON web APIs, for example, and they would like to transform it to JSON-LD if it doesn't require changes or just minor changes. And just including the context in a link header is really, it doesn't change anything, basically.
Yep.
But is transforming the right word then? It's more interpreting JSON as JSON-LD, interpreting plain JSON as something like that.
That's true.
That's true, yeah.
Interpreting JSON as JSON-LD?
Yep.
Or consuming JSON as JSON-LD?
Consuming, maybe. Because JSON-LD is JSON.
Yeah. Okay, so consuming JSON as JSON-LD?
Well, on the other hand, it is about publishing JSON as JSON-LD.
I think so publishing...
Maybe interpreting. Yeah, that's both sides need to agree on the interpretation.
Okay, so where are we? Is interpreting where we are? I'm fine with interpreting. I'm fine with publishing. I think consuming has some minor negative connotations to it. Referencing is too vague, I think.
I think interpreting.
I think that's pretty clear what it means.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a demand on the publisher and the consumer to understand something. In this case, the link header semantics.
Okay. All right. So let's do interpreting JSON as JSON-LD. Any other better ideas?
Do we want? Yeah, no. Maybe ordinary JSON or plain JSON as JSON-LD.
But it might not be plain JSON, right?
True.
It might be
true.
Someone else's JSON. For instance, microdata, which is one of our use cases.
Yeah. Yeah. Interpreting JSON as JSON-LD.
Okay.
Go for that.
Next topic are the IANA parameters, and I couldn't. I know we had a discussion about this, but I could not. The IANA consideration section. The major issue were the optional parameters. We have form and profile. So form determines the serialization format of the JSON-LD dot, and the only valid value that we said was expanded. Now, since the reason we didn't say compact was a valid value was because compact used to be non-deterministic. But now I think if you compact a JSON-LD document, you are guaranteed to get the same document out per the algorithm that we have, that another processor would generate. So I think form needs to have the values as expanded and compacted. I think we should add compacted there.
I think the reason why we didn't include compacted is because it actually doesn't mean anything. So it depends entirely on the context, and you wouldn't know anything about the shape or the structure of the document. So that could be an empty context,
might be more
for
useful.
Example.
It might be more useful to know that the data is flattened.
So
they don't have to make any assumptions about digging deeper into fine things.
But flattened documents can be compacted, is that right?
Sure.
But if flattened is the form, then we're saying that it has to be expanded flattened?
So, since this is related to the issue I raised, do we really need this parameter, or could we just stick that information into the profile which documents those kind of constraints or additional conventions? So you could say that there is a profile which says that the document is expanded, and we mint an IRI for that, for example.
I think the purpose of having these parameters is to allow people to determine something about the document without actually having opened it.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly negotiating for it as well, if they are, if they prefer expanded form for processing reasons, but can expand it themselves if the endpoint doesn't understand anything else.
Right.
The server.
Yeah, but you can do exactly the same with profile. All we would have to do is to mint an IRI for expanded or an IRI for compacted form or whatever form we want. So I think profile is more extendable and form, well, it's a bit redundant.
Okay, so should we then mint a couple of IRIs for the forms we have mentioned here and recommend them?
Yeah. we minted another IRI as well some time ago. I forgot what it was, but let me do a quick search for that, or if someone could do a quick search for that.
We minted the context to reference the context in the HTTP link header.
Mm-hmm. So we'd use the same IRI. Purpose of forum is so that people can... okay, so the proposal is to get rid of form and encode that in the profile. The other issue I had with profile is the whole paragraph is a bit difficult to read. In fact, I couldn't determine what profile was for. I thought that we had profile for in the case that we had a JSON schema that constricted the JSON LD data, that's what profile was supposed to be used for. But I don't quite remember.
Basically, you have an identifier which identifies some constraints or, I don't know, some conventions which are used within the document. And you mark the document with those conventions.
So expanded, compacted, or expanded,
for example,
expanded,
yeah.
Flattened. What about JSON schema? Like, what about a link to a JSON schema? Would you link to...
Yeah. The key is that the consumer has to understand what that IRI means. So if it's a schema and the consumer knows that it's a schema, it can, of course, go and fetch it and use it.
Okay.
I'm thinking mostly about content negotiation scenarios for this, and
yeah, I mean, you could also, for example, specify in profile that you want a specific vocabulary, for example, or.
But the it should be opaque, right? This.
Yeah, that's true.
So even if it corresponds to that, you need to either link to it or have it in another link header. I wonder if it's actually good to define form to take to be able to use the tokens expanded, compact, and those two with or without flattened, because they are so fundamental to the different shapes.
So you're saying we should have three expanded, compacted, and expanded flattened?
Or compacted or flattened? Four.
Yeah, four. Expanded and compacted, and then expanded plus flattened, expanded or compacted plus flattened.
Okay, so sorry, I'm getting these into the minutes, so I can go back and reference them. Expanded, compacted, expanded. Plus flattened or dash flattened? Because plus means space.
Profile is a white space separated list. I don't know which is useful here.
It doesn't really matter.
Means,
it's just an IRI or a URI.
Yeah, but I like to be a little pedantic about the IRIs that we're minting. So those four, with an unknown on the on whether using dash or plus.
If it looks a bit more kind of natural if there's a dash in a fragment than if there's a plus, but
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so those four then for the profiles that we support, and they're getting rid of form.
Yeah.
To some extent, I think form and only the values after hashes here is useful too, though, but...
I think the reason that we're using URLs is so other people can have their own, you know, they can add their own profiles effectively. Where form would kind of be, we'd have to have a registry if we didn't use URLs, I feel that the right way to do it would be to have a registry. Whereas the profile mechanism allows anybody to basically say, this is my form of JSON LD. If the client understands it, then you can interpret it as such. So it feels like profiles more extensible. It feels like profiles the right way to go about this. And it's more extensible.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And then if they wanted to, let's say, add like a certain type of JSON schema, they can mint their own URL for every single type of JSON schema that they, you know, expose. Or, you know, expose. I think that's pretty... But it seems like it's a pretty solid proposal, I think.
I need to
be getting out of here, so...
Okay,
this is the last thing.
Yeah, let's do that. For application, JSON, add for... Okay, so remove form from the optional parameters for application LD plus JSON, add four URL values for a profile.
The last one is wrong. It's expanded compacted, but it should be flattened compacted.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. I'll fix that in the resolution. And flattened, it's compacted dash flattened, right?
It's
expanded.
Oh, yeah.
Expanded,
it's
flattened.
Flattened,
compacted.
Compacted,
flattened.
Make
it consistent.
Okay,
well,
so
the thing
means
is that it's first flattened and then compacted.
I'd put the flattened at the end, I think. Compacted.
Yeah, and that's also fortunately lexical, right? If you sort the words by...
Yeah.
That's a memory rule.
Yeah.
Okay, so expanded, compacted, expanded dash flattened, and then compacted dash flattened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you flatten something that's compacted?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So, okay, that's it. Dave Longley, very quickly, Dave Longley is currently writing. He took Marcus's work and Greg's work. He did an implementation based on both. The implementation passes the entire test suite. And then he is now reworking the algorithms to explain more about what each problem, each one of the algorithms solves, a general outline of the algorithm, and then the actual algorithm itself. And I've seen some of the stuff that he's working on. It looks really good. It has something that we didn't necessarily have before. It's got a very regular order, and it's just really simple to follow. So anyway, I think he's going to be done with that proposal next week, and then all of us can kind of take at it and see what we think about it. But I feel better about how he's kind of merged what Marcus and Greg have done and kind of explain, re-explain the way it works. It just seems to read a bit nicer than what we had in the spec previously. So just a quick update on where we are with that stuff. Anything else before we go?
A quick question relaying this from my friend who talked about name graphs, if you have a minute. He had a bit of trouble with the wording in 6.11. I'll paste it here and read it. When graph is used in a document's top-level object, which has no other properties that are mapped to an IRI or a keyword, it is considered to express the otherwise implicit default graph. If I understand him correctly, he wasn't sure that it was enough to add ID because he wanted to ensure that he had a named graph, and the only thing he had was an ID. It had no other properties. But that should work, right? If you have ID and graph, yeah. Just to be sure I say the right thing to him. Good. Perhaps the wording there should be amended for that.
Yeah, we should change it. I'll try to go in and change it right after the call.
Great.
Just so we don't drop it. If we do drop it, feel free to. I mean, it's wrong. The text in the spec right now is wrong. It should be an editorial change to fix it in the future. But we want to make sure that he's right. It is misleading. okay. Anything else?
Okay. Great.
Right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.